Joe Stazak on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hit the big dog, huh? I could barely say that with a straight face today, folks. It's Joe Stazak. I'm here till 10 o'clock tonight. It is the Eagles post-game show. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. We're broadcasting live from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. And, folks, I sincerely hope you all were wearing your masks today during the game, covering your nose, because it was putrid. In fact, that game would probably have to get 10 times better to just be putrid. It was that bad of a performance by the Eagles. 17-0 lead over the hapless Redskins with the lowest-rated quarterback in the league last year in Dwayne Haskins, a brand-new coach who didn't get to do OTAs and half of a training camp because of COVID, and they come back from 17-0 down. With no fans. It's not like, you know, the fans got behind them and gave them energy and support. They, you know, they got things rolling. That was an abomination. There was a game. Let me take you back to 2015. September 20th, Chip Kelly's third year. He had gone 10-6 the first 2 years, and then the wheels came off. September 20th, that might have been game two or three, playing the Cowboys at home. You recall this? They lost 20-10. Now, it seems like a normal score. Okay, yeah, they didn't score a lot of points, and Dallas probably eked out a win. It was the game DeMarco Murray rushed for 2 yards on 13 carries. That's 0.15 yards per carry. The entire Eagles backfield rushed for minus 2 yards. And that doesn't even begin to scratch the surface of that game. I've been here 7 years. That was probably a year and a half into my tenure here. I sat in this studio, in this chair, behind this mic, with 50,000 watts behind it back in 2015, and I said, that was the worst football game I have ever seen. Fast forward to September 13th, 2020, and I still think that was the worst football game I've ever seen. But if that was one, today was 1A. It was that bad. I'm not a wordsmith. I like words, and I need them for my job. I have a good relationship with words, and I think they like me. I like to look up words and figure out what they mean sometimes if I don't know a word and, you know, amaze my friends, although I usually forget about 30 seconds later. But I like words. I like to read. I like people that, you know, kind of interject, you know, high-end words into whatever they're doing, if they're articulating a show, if they're writing a piece. I have no words for today's game. I'm speechless, and I got to do 3 hours of this. I have no words for today's debacle. You know what? I can't even begin to qualify today's game with adjectives that would be appropriate enough to describe the disaster that was the game today. You know, abomination, debacle, disaster. I mean, I could come up with a lot of words. It would not aptly describe the performance of the Philadelphia Eagles today. I sit here all the time and pontificate about certain things. And if you listen to my show, you may or may not, you know some things that, you know, I kind of try to stress at times. You know, my little book of axioms regarding football or whatever. There are, and I'm sure a lot of you have heard this before because I say it all the time, there are three things in all of sports that probably have the biggest impact on the outcome of a game. This goes for all sports, but especially football. Three things in all of sports that probably have the biggest impact on the outcome of a game. They are turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. I can't say it any more than that. The Birds turned the ball over 3 times to Washington's 1. Dwayne Haskins is a subpar quarterback. I know it's year 2. I usually throw out year 1 for any quarterback trying to acclimate themselves into the National Football League. Not an easy thing to do. Do the same thing with head coaches. So Doug Peterson in the 7-9 season, I usually scratch that. Same with Carson Wentz. And then I start with his second season. And if I want to, you know, talk statistics and kind of see where they are. Turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. I can't stress it anymore. The Redskins at least secured the football. You can be the better team, but if you turn the ball over, it is not only the great equalizer, but it tilts the field. And not only did the Redskins intercept Carson Wentz twice and probably should have three times, one of the defensive backs kind of bobbled the ball and dropped it right after the second pick. The Redskins turned those two interceptions into 14 points. So theoretically, you know, you don't know what the Birds would have done with the football if the drives continued. But theoretically, you could almost make a case that that was a 28-point swing. And then, of course, the fumble late in the game by Carson Wentz. Second time he fumbled today. Where's the tuck rule when you need it? That was a textbook definition of the tuck rule. And I hated the tuck rule. And I ripped it up and down since the Brady and the Raiders game. It took them 11 years to eliminate it. But that's exactly what that was. Back in the day, that's an incomplete pass. I don't care. I like the rule the way it is. It should have been a fumble. It should have been a fumble. And I'll get more to the quarterback in a little bit. I thought Doug Peterson was horrendous in his play calling and lack of adjustments. The offensive line gave up three sacks in the first 12 minutes. Think about that. There are games where teams maybe get three sacks in the entire game. Maybe. Three sacks in the first 12 minutes. Okay? The offensive line was putrid. Now, I know they are injured. And I know that people say, well, you can't use injuries as excuses. All right, fine. That's okay for the most part. But when you have a depleted team, when you are so depleted, you kind of have to, you know, look to injuries to maybe lay some blame. I'm not saying that's today, although they did miss some key players. Miles Sanders, you know, Lane Johnson was a late scratch. Derek Barnett, although you know what I think of him. But they won the Super Bowl without Carson Wentz, Jason Peters, Darren Sproles. They were incredibly banged up that year. And they won the Super Bowl. So I don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear it. I know, I believe I saw Jordan Mailata play in his first NFL game in the regular season at right tackle. Jack Driscoll played instead of Matt Pryor. I mean, where did that come from? They were horrendous. Now, it's, you know, here in Philadelphia, we're gonna destroy our own team. But I say all the time, and you have to remember, the other guys get paid too. They're getting paid to make plays. So in Washington, they're talking about how good the front seven was. They're not talking about how porous the Eagles' offensive line was. They're talking about how good they were, and they were good. But you combine a good front seven with a porous and injured and an offensive line that really lacks depth, and that's what you get. You get eight sacks. Not only that, but your quarterback didn't help you out that much. Neither did your head coach. They still, despite giving up jailbreak after jailbreak after jailbreak, they're still calling deep balls. You know, plays that take a long time to develop. And Carson Wentz, and, you know, listen, I know my reputation, not reputation, but people think that I don't like Carson Wentz. That's like the thing. I do like him. I think he's injured too much and he's never around for the playoffs. I like him. I like his game. He was phenomenal in the first quarter and a half, if you recall. I'm watching the game going, damn, this guy's good. He can play like this all the time. This is the guy we drafted at number two when Howie went from 13 to 8 to 2. Brilliant move by Howie. It's probably the only good move he's ever made. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. So he was brilliant. That pass to Dallas Goedert after the Ertz touchdown. I mean, you can't throw a better ball. He threw that before Goddard even had begun to track the ball. Good job by Goddard getting the ball late, but I mean, that was a teardrop right into his arms. Carson Wentz was killing it. Absolutely killing it. He was 11 for 13 for 123 yards, a couple of touchdowns in the first half. But here's the thing that turned the game around. And this, can you call it hubris? Because Doug Peterson, after the game, said, well, we put up 17 points. We wanted to stay aggressive. A minute 37 left in the second quarter. Birds have the ball deep in their own territory. Birds have the ball deep in their own territory. They decide to throw a long pass. Did they need more points there? Someone help me out here. Did they need more points right there? It's not enough to go into halftime, technically on the road, up 17 against a bad team. Ball is picked by Fabian Moreau. Yes, his name is Fabian. Fabian Moreau, interception at the Eagles 45. It took the Skins 57 seconds to cut the Birds' lead to 10. Okay, so now the Skins go into halftime with a little bit of momentum, and the game is within reach. By the way, the Eagles under Doug Peterson have a little history with blowing big leads. Remember a couple years ago in Tennessee, they blew a 14-point lead in the second half. Remember Corey Davis, that 4th-and-15? How about the Carolina game a couple years ago? Birds are up 17-0 in the fourth quarter. They lose 21-17. The Super Bowl. Super Bowl 52, Eagles up 22-12 at the half. And they get destroyed in the second half. They end up needing a late touchdown drive by Nicky Franchise and Zach Ertz, you know, to win that ball game. And, of course, the strip sack by Brandon Graham. We know what happened there. But they have a history of giving up big leads. Now, the Eagles did this to the Skins last year, ironically, on opening day, if you recall. They were down 17-0. In the blink of an eye, Terry McLaurin, the rookie, was just killing our defense. Killing it. And, of course, Case Keenum, remember him? Was quarterback. 17-0 until Carson Wentz and DeSean Jackson really got on track with a couple of 50-yard touchdown passes. And they kind of won the game relatively easily. I'm not saying the Skins won the game. Skins, did I call them the Skins? Sorry. The Washington football team. I'm embarrassed to call them that. I have to be honest. It's embarrassing. The Washington that's the name you came up with in the interim to give you time to come up with a new name and logo. The Washington football team. That is damn creative. I'd like to be in the room with that think tank. The Washington football. Good job by Dan Snyder. And you know how the Redskins, we used to truncate the name and call them the Skins. Well, you know what they call the Washington football team? They cut off Washington, and they're known as, if you're calling them by their nickname, the football team. I can't make this up. I heard the announcers do it today. They're the football team. Really? I didn't know that. I know I'm getting sidetracked, but fine. You want to change the name? That's fine. You're offending people. That's fine. The Washington football, that's what you came up with. And now they're known as the football team. You can't make that up. You cannot make that up. Quarterback comparison, Carson Wentz finished 24 of 42. 270 pass yards, 2 touchdowns, but 2 big picks. 72.5 rating. 8 sacks for 62 yards. Let me repeat that. 8 sacks for 62 yards. All you have to do is look at the turnover column and the sack column. That's an abomination. Not quite as bad as the night Winston Justice got torched by, was it Michael Strahan and OCU Manura in the Meadowlands, where he kept giving up sack after sack after sack, gave up 12 sacks. Not all 12 sacks he gave up, but this was reminiscent of that game, like 10 years ago or whenever that game was. The Eagles came out firing today. Scored on 3 of their first 4 possessions and looked pretty good doing it. From there, They went 0 for 10. They went 0 for their last 10 in points. All right, 0 for their last 10. Just to reset, I'm Joe Stajak. This is the Eagles post-post game. I'm here till 10 o'clock tonight. Give us a call at 610-632-0975. Phone lines are lighting up, as they usually do after a loss, but this one was an epic loss. There are losses, and there are games like today.
Not good.
Not good, Ilya. It was an epic loss. 610-632-0975. So we're going to go out to the phone lines right away today. We're not going to wait 23 minutes or a half hour. We're going to go to Ramsey in North Philly on 97.5. What's up, Ramsey?
What up, Joe? How you doing, bro?
How you doing, man?
Doing well. I mean, as well as I can be, you know.
That was brutal, dude.
I mean, I'm calling from another side of the field. If you don't mind me being as such.
Go ahead.
The Eagles are my second team. They're not my GOAT. They're not my first team. They're my second team. I do enjoy them.
Who's your first team?
I love
team?
Them. They are Packers.
The Packers?
I've been a Packers guy since Brett Favre, Reggie White, Don Magic Man. That's been
I got you. You know, big history there. Won a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. I get it. That's okay.
You know,
football town or whatever they call themselves. I haven't won a Super Bowl since 2010, but that's okay. That's okay. I believe they put a hurting on the Vikings today.
They did, 43-36. Title Town USA is what we're calling it.
You know, I knew it's hard to bet games in week one, but that line smelled. And I told Steve Callis, my podcast partner, the same thing. I was going to take the Vikings. We pick three games each. I said, you know, it's week one. If it was week six, I'd take the Packers because that line smelled. Vikings should be a very good team, probably better than the Packers because they didn't do anything in the draft and they were only given 2.5 points. That smelled. I stayed off it, and of course, it hit. You know, the Packers, you know, won, putting up over 40 points. Ridiculous. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. Go ahead, bro.
Well, so my thing is this. The Eagles, I enjoy them. I think they're a great team. I think they have a lot of room to grow. Downside of all of that, though, again, speaking from the other side, don't do what we did. I am not saying that you need to fire Doug Peterson, but definitely had that as a question in the back of the mind. Because we did the same thing. We had a Super Bowl winning coach. We kept him longer than he should have been there because he kept running the same exact damn plays and never adjusted. And that's the same thing that Peterson does. Peterson keeps running the same plays, doesn't know how to adjust, and you keep running into the same problems. He's been doing it for the last 2 years. Don't allow it to be 10. That's my standpoint. Don't allow it to be 7 years, because that's how long it was when we had to deal with Mike McCarthy's same exact plays, trying to force the game into Aaron Rodgers' hands to win.
Yeah, and didn't really get along with Aaron Rodgers either, from what I understand.
Yeah, and that's the big issue, is that Peterson keeps forcing the game into Carson Wentz's hands. And Carson Wentz is a good quarterback. He could be great one day. The thing is about why I say he's good and not great is because of the fact that he keeps getting the game forced into his hand and he doesn't know how to control it in that manner.
Well, I appreciate the phone call, Ramsey. I got to move on. Here's my statement about what you just said, Ramsey. I know everyone here wants to run the football a little bit more. And I tend to agree they need more balance and always have. And it, you know, goes back to the Andy Reid era, which began in 1999. Andy likes to sling it. Now he's got his quarterback, the $40 million guy. He can sling it every down if he wants. He's also got a good running game. Nice job, Andy, by the way. And I've come around to him, by the way. You know, I couldn't stand him for years. I'm almost starting to like the guy. But anyway, so they threw the ball today. Now, again, they don't have Miles Sanders. I get that. I didn't expect Boston Scott to do a whole lot, especially with a banged-up offensive line. There's a reason he was on the practice squad for most of the year last year. And, again, I don't know how long Miles Sanders will be out, but in case anyone checked out the Patriots-Miami game, Jordan Howard is down in Miami now. He should be here in Philadelphia. They should have two good running backs, a Thunder and a Lightning. They got Jordan Howard for like a 6th-round pick from the Bears. He is, I'd say he's on the cusp of being one of the premier running backs in the league. They just gave him away. Anyway, so now they don't have a running back. They don't have a premier running back. They ran for 57 yards today. They threw the ball 42 times, rushed it 17. Okay, that's not a good balance. Having said that, they couldn't run the ball. I get it sometimes. They get away from it too quickly, I think. And I think people always talk about establishing the run. There are times where you're just not running the football. So what are you going to do? You're going to run the ball into the line twice, and then obviously you set yourself up for a very predictable third down pass. By the way, Carson Wentz, again, one of his Achilles heels, besides getting hurt all the time, is he holds on to the ball too long. This was that all day long. Not only did he get sacked 8 times, there were times where he got hit like 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage and backed up another 6 yards. They lost 13 yards on a third down play before Jake Elliott. And how does this happen? How does Jake Elliott, who has kicked a 62-yarder before, and most NFL kickers, that's their range, about 60 yards, 53-yard attempt for Jake Elliott. And usually he's terrible with extra points, but beyond 40, he's pretty good. He didn't miss it wide right. He didn't miss it wide left. It came up short. Like, that's how the game went today. It came up short. Now, all you had to do was look towards the previous play. If you don't give up a 13-yard loss, you know, even a 10-yard loss, and that ball's probably good. Now, having said that, there's no excuse for Jake Elliott to leave that ball short at like 49 yards. That's not acceptable. The drops were not acceptable today. John Hightower dropped an easy ball over the middle, probably good for 18 yards. Now, I know he's a rookie. I don't like rookies. I've made that clear. Especially fifth-round picks. Why is John Hightower on this team? They got all excited. We got all the speed. We got Quez Watkins. Rieger with the first pick. He had one catch today. It was a nice catch. I was surprised the rookies played that much because they haven't had a lot of time to really rep out with the first team. They got a lot of time today. John Hightower was not good. He came up small. And both of them probably could have run better routes and helped Carson Wentz on his 2 interceptions. The timing's not quite there. Rieger's routes, he probably was a little lazy. He didn't cut it off sharply. Hightower, same thing. But I'm also going to give credit to, you know, the defense. You know, Jimmy Moreland, Fabian Moreau made a couple nice plays on the ball. Again, in Washington, they're talking about how good the defense is. The defensive backs jumped those routes. You know, Carson Wentz is supposed to be one of the premier quarterbacks in the league. I've never seen the dichotomy that was Carson Wentz first quarter, almost the first half, and second half Carson Wentz. I'm looking for the numbers right now. Oh, here it is. Carson Wentz started the game 14 of 17 for 182 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, and a quarterback rating of 149.6. A perfect rating is 153.8. They had a 17-0 lead with a minute 37 left. Since that point, since right before he threw that interception, and that was the beginning of the end, at the end of the second quarter, he finished 10 of 25, 88 yards. No touchdowns, 2 big interceptions, and his quarterback rating was, wait for it, 16.8. Not kidding. I like to, you know, spew stats to, you know, I like empirical data to support my opinions and my thoughts and, you know, the philosophy of what I'm talking about. Yeah, 16.8. He was overthrowing guys. He overthrew DeSean Jackson a bunch of times, Zach Ertz. And when he was on the money, John Hightower drops a ball. And Zach Ertz, multiple Pro Bowler. A couple years ago, he caught 116 balls. All-time record for a single season. In the Super Bowl, game-winning drive, 4th and 2. He catches a big 4th and 2 ball from Nick Foles in traffic to keep the drive alive. Not only that, he tops it with the game-winning touchdown. He is not allergic to big moments. He's not. And this has nothing to do with this contract and the alleged argument with Howie Roseman down at NovaCare this week. Nothing to do with that. Fourth down, fourth and three, he drops the ball right over the middle in his hands. He's a premier tight end. Can't block a lick, doesn't like contact, but can catch the ball. Dallas Goedert just, you know, owned him today in terms of comparison. We got to take our first break. Hang in there, folks. 610-632-0975. I'm Joe Stajak here till 10 o'clock tonight. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.